ever since I was interviewed by Jessica Ortner for the Tapping World Summit, when I gave my views on the aging process, many people have been writing me and asking me to please elaborate on what I had to say from my own experience, because I am technically in the old age category in the views of our society, and I'm certainly not typical of what people expect for my age. So they wanted me to talk more about it, to give more guidance in how we don't have to be caught in the misconceptions. So here I am, and I've decided to prepare these audios and ebook in order to answer that request. So I'm going to tell you today some of the things that I feel very deeply about, and I know from firsthand experience. Now, actually, aging is pretty much denied in our society as an acceptable process. It's as though it were a kind of mistake. Somebody made a mistake. It shouldn't have happened. And at worst, it is dreaded by those who envision illness and physical incapacity, mental decline, loneliness, and above all, loss of much that gives meaning to life. There are certain societies where some types of decline are not even expected and they don't happen. In some places in the world, age is not a sentence like a jail sentence with regard to loss of ability to function as a team member. The older person is not ostracized, quite the opposite. And often these societies are located geographically in very high regions where people have been brought up breathing air that has less oxygen, and their lungs have become used to working in oxygen-rare atmospheres. That is one reason why there's reported great deal of health and vigor in older ages in these high-altitude civilizations. One of the most notable examples of this sort of activity, real participation into old age, is the Hunza people of northern Pakistan. They live in an exquisite setting in the Himalayas, and some reports from Westerners who were visiting there before so-called civilization came in. Now they have resorts there, they have lots of transportation, they have tours that go there, and all of those things that have changed that society. The Hunza is no longer what it was. But those who visited the Hunzas in the days when it was very hard to get there, there was very little transportation. You had to go often on foot on very dangerous trails, treacherous because of the heights. And when you got there, you had a chance to observe a pristine civilization that had not been contaminated. Those who went there in those days absolutely agreed that these people were working out in the fields and climbing steep slopes during the day, every day, even after they were in their reported 90s and over 100 years old. The one thing we're not sure of is that the age estimate of the visitors was correct, because Hunzas do not observe a calendar. The ancient Hunzas, I'm sure they do today. They actually had no formal calendars. They calculated their ages by personal estimations of a person's wisdom. Now, this may have led at times to estimates on the part of the Westerners who were visiting estimate their lifespan to be over 120 years, because they seemed to say they had been around in a time which would make it very logical. We do know that they seem to have wonderful health and vitality up till a few days before they died. Now, this is a very enviable end to a life, that people had the quality of life right up till the end. That we do know. We don't know the exact ages, but the estimates are that they were pretty darned high. We can assume that certainly they were not typical of our present society. So what you can think of is, what an interesting society that estimated people's age in terms of their wisdom, their ability to contribute to the whole tribe into which they belonged. that was the way you judged whether someone was really old. They had acquired wisdom, and they were sharing it. This is so different from our point of view that it's really diametrically opposed. It's the opposite. And you can't help but wonder what would happen if we began to value wisdom and contribution and creativity and vitality rather than chronological age. How different our viewpoint would be. And maybe how very different our lives and our health and our aging process would be. So the Hunza experience and others like it tell us a lot about the importance of attitudes and the important role that they play in the outward manifestations even of so-called age. I live in the United States, where we certainly don't anticipate a positive role for those in their advancing years. And I want to point out, though, that some people in our society grow enormously in their self-esteem as they age. But these people are not very much noticed. Really successful aging doesn't get much publicity. And because it isn't generally noticed, it can't be emulated very well. Now, some people, of course, will tell you that the fear that people live with as they age comes largely from a fear of dying. They know they will die eventually, and this becomes more of a reality as one gets older. Actually, I found that a fear of dying is by no means the most prevalent fear that most older people have. I've worked with many people in counseling over the years. But while this fear is certainly present in some older people, death is by no means the most important reason most people are afraid as they grow older. Many people can accept dying gracefully and with a sense of peace, especially if they have beliefs and support systems of a spiritual or religious nature. What these people seem to fear is age itself, as it's presently depicted over and over again by those around them and by the media. The negative vision that people have as they grow older is one of supposedly inevitable infirmities that are expected to bring enforced dependency and a return to the more helpless state of infancy. Now, this can be terrifying even to those who are not at an age in their lives when they can as yet expect such things to happen. They may have parents or grandparents in that age group, so that even people who are not yet in their so-called declining years with respect to their own chronological age are often anxious or depressed when they think about growing older because they believe they will inevitably face the same problems they see in their parents and their grandparents. So given the fact that a very negative view of growing older is rampant in our society, what can we do to change this? Can something as simple as EFT tapping, for example, or using some other energy psychology technique, actually have an effect on attitudes that are so deep-seated? Actually, the answer is yes. Energy psychology techniques can have a profound effect on such attitudes. In the second audio included in this package, I lead you through tapping exercises that allow you to experience the way in which tapping can address negative attitudes. You may find yourself feeling very different about this issue after going through these exercises. I recommend that you do these as soon as you can. Now I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself and my personal feelings about getting older. That's what so many people have asked me to do. And I suspect that I have a different attitude about aging than most people in our society. It clearly diverges from that which is adopted by the majority of people who reach my chronological age, which is 89 years old. seems to be almost unbelievable to me, because I don't feel that I'm that age, or any other age for that matter. I just don't feel it. I'm told that it's fairly unusual the way I handle being 89, but I certainly didn't set out to live my life any differently than anyone else. It's just that my attitude about many things and the way I live have resulted in a very different perspective on all of this. So how do I live? Well, it's hard for me to describe because I do this largely automatically and without thinking. I guess most of us do. But one thing that readily comes to my mind is the fact that I'm not very conscious of age in anyone. I don't remember, for example, to inquire about someone's age when I hear them mentioned, or to inquire about it when I'm about to be introduced to them. It doesn't occur to me. I have very little curiosity in this direction because it really doesn't mean much to me. In that sense, I'm probably more like the ancient Hunzes, who didn't figure out how to calculate passing years because they basically didn't care. It seemed irrelevant to them, so they didn't have a calendar. I am now a certain chronological age according to medical records and birth records and my own memories of childhood, but I certainly don't feel it as an inner truth, because my chronological age simply does not describe who I am. So I'm going to try to tell you what this does for me. For one thing, I have a great deal more energy today than I had 15 or 20 years ago, to the point, in fact, that I hardly recognize myself as the same person. I also seem to have more ability to get things done faster and more productively as each year passes. It's extremely gratifying. And it's puzzling if you look at growing older in a conventional way. Now, when I say energy, I have more energy, I don't mean I'm training for the Olympics or putting up sheetrock for a new room in our house or doing some other absolutely unimaginable physical feat. I don't mean that. I do exercise quite regularly. But it's a nice, mild, useful way of exercise that's compatible with my personality. I'm not a heavy exercise person. However, and I think this is important, I do engage in creative projects and in innovations in all areas of my life that is very demanding, and it's also very exciting to me. I find that I can accomplish these things with an agility and a speed that is greater now than it was even a year ago. And that speed seems to be ramping up. Of course, the whole world is going at a faster and faster pace all the time. And the only thing that may be unusual about my life is that I'm going at a continually increasing pace that's typical of people who are chronologically much younger than myself. But it feels just right to me. It's natural. An example of this is my attitude towards the computer. My computer is a great companion to me, and I work with it a large part of the day. To me, it still seems like magic. It seemed that way a number of years ago when I was first introduced to it. Absolutely like magic, and it still does. I'm not an expert at computer technology, but to me, it's an exciting frontier. It's one that I feel is sweeping us forward, and it's certainly sweeping me forward in my professional work. Today I run a full-time business of creating and selling self-help methods that I consider are absolutely remarkable. It's the most gratifying thing I could possibly be doing, because I love to share good things, and I'm excited about many things, but only those that I'm able to tell people about from my heart, those that I really believe in. They have to be top-notch in quality for me to even deal with them. So I spend many hours every day working, and creativity is my work. I work with my own clients, and I work with thousands of people through my recorded methods and my teleseminars. I watch people blossom with these new techniques, and it's so fulfilling. I'm often asked to describe my lifestyle in detail, so I'm going to do that now. First and foremost, I've never been an exercise fanatic. I walk every day, but it's moderate walking, and I also do truly enjoyable stretch exercises, but not to the point of having them be very strenuous. They are not aerobic. I've never been on any special diet until this past year when I went on to a gluten-free diet at the advice of my integrative physician, and I find it wonderful. I regularly eat nice, healthy food, to be sure, but I have never been a vegetarian, for example, and I'm not obsessive about what I eat. I break some of the eating rules, some of the time, without worrying. What many people tell me is interesting is that I'm not on any prescription medications at all, just on some incredible supplements that are recommended by a special doctor I worked with, Dr. Thelma Jones, who's an integrative physician in Scarsdale, New York. And I should also mention something else. I have been meditating daily for about 40 years, I guess, since the early 1970s. I use a form of meditation which I named clinically standardized meditation. It's a method I devised for New York Telephone Company employees at the request of its medical department. It is so simple and natural that literally anyone can learn it, and those who've used it have had marvelous success with it. And the research, of course, has been published in many leading journals. At any rate, I've been meditating using this method for years, and there's no doubt that doing so has affected me positively in many important ways. I feel it has been a wonderful help in my life. By the way, the classic instructional course in clinically standardized meditation, which is the method we used in New York Telephone Company in exactly this form, can be purchased now online from my website, www.masteringeft, that's mastering ing, mastering, EFT.com. Now we come to the question of whether having good genes, so to speak, good inheritance, is a necessary ingredient of successful aging. Well, I'm aware that many people believe that an ability to age gracefully is determined by our genes. People believe that we inherit certain patterns of aging, and we're stuck with them. And I don't know the ultimate answer to this. I don't think anyone does. But I can certainly tell you that my own experience does not support this point of view. I don't come from a long-lived family myself, so that doesn't explain my health and my vitality. My dad passed away at age 56 of what seemed to be a heart attack during his sleep, although he didn't have heart problems as far as we knew. And my mother lived only until age 66 when she contracted diabetes, a family-related disease, which I don't have. So something is clearly different about my life than theirs, and I can't for certain say what this is. I do know that I don't have the awareness of age, as I've told you, that many people have. It's not part of my life, and I've told you that I'm deeply involved in my interests, which are constantly growing. I do have a different lifestyle than my parents. I'm much more into modern ways of being and thinking and growing and using energy techniques and other methods to move beyond where we were before. I love that, and my family really wasn't into that. They were very creative, but not in the same way. I think I don't feel really a difference between myself and people of any age because I'm so continually aware of growing and changing. And this makes me question the familiar saying that an old dog can't learn new tricks. Many people accept that as a fact, but I consider it untrue that a dog of any age can't learn new tricks. Some old dogs don't want to or can't learn well for physical or mental reasons, But an old dog sometimes learns new tricks more quickly because the former conditions are not holding them back anymore and making them resist change. The whole concept about not being able to learn wonderfully well as you reach old age needs to change radically if you are going to keep growing right through your lifespan. And unfortunately, this is quite a different attitude than the one I hear so often from people in their later years. Actually, growing older can mean a flowering of certain parts of ourselves. These are different, to be sure, than the parts that would have been flowering at an earlier age because there's more internal growth as we grow older. But they're no less important because they're different. You find yourself turning inward for inspirations from within much more often as age increases. You can tap into an inner sense of wonder and peace and expansion as you go on in life that's of a more spiritual nature for many of us. It doesn't have to involve any religion in a formal sense, although it can, of course. It is more transcendent, more beyond the narrow field of vision that we have been used to experiencing, perhaps, in our younger years. I think the word growing is crucial to use when we think of someone growing older. We don't usually use the word that way. We use it to mean becoming older. But we can use it to mean growing older, and I want to suggest that to you. Actually, I think that's what I do in my life. It reminds me of how trees grow older. If you walk in the woods, as I frequently do, or you walk elsewhere where trees are maturing, you'll see many trees that have died, and others, even though they may have many dead limbs, that are showing a remarkable phenomenon. When spring comes around, you'll see that certain branches of these trees will be sending out vigorous new sprouts that grow into fresh new branches. These sprouts are as bright a green and as fresh and vital as the new sprouts that are being sent out by saplings. They're just fewer in number, and they're only found in strategic places on the trees. In fact, new cells are multiplying and putting forth life continuously until the tree itself stops and moves on to its destiny. Growth seems to be the law of living beings. And I think the fact that I actually relish the new and the growing portions of my life so much may actually account for a lot of my health and creativity at my present age. I think it does. I often say that the natural state of a living being is to grow older not by decaying, but by constantly creating new branches, so to speak. We need to see ourselves as growing beings. So I see the latter part of life as a wonderful opportunity to grow in new areas that we had to neglect when we were younger because we had families, we had commitments, we had different kinds of work, perhaps. Other things occupied us so much then. In the second audio in this series, I give you some tapping exercises to direct your mind and your emotions toward where you want to go now in life. This moves tapping to another level, a personal growth level, instead of being only a therapeutic intervention. It's wonderful at that, but it need not be only that. Actually, your older years are a time that you can finally move away from some of the concerns and conventional activities that occupied you in former years. I like to look upon the aging process as a clearing out process. You can even look upon it as a time when you're being let out of jail, so to speak, when you can become more and more yourself.